Coming up on Dig It.
I think it's the sandwich generation. That's where we are now.
Yes.
We're kind of looking after the kids.
Caring for parents and kids. I'm looking forward to that era.
Me too. Maybe it will come. And I can't wait. Yeah.
Will it come in my 80s?
I feel a bit like, bring it on. What else next? What next?
Yeah,
what next?
What
go
next?
On, throw it at me. I'm going to bat it off.
Jude is currently dressed as a turkey, is passing his mum, who is dressed as a Christmas tree, through the Christmas tree netter.
I did get stuck at this point.
I love this.
All of that right after this. So we have some very, very exciting news. We are taking Dig It to the stage.
Woohoo! Yes, we're going to be live in Sheffield at Crosswires on Sunday, the 5th of July. And if you haven't heard of Crosswires, it's basically the world's biggest podcast festival. People have called it the Edinburgh Fringe for podcasts, even the Glastonbury of podcasting.
It is a whole weekend packed with live shows from some of your favourite podcasts. They take over venues across Sheffield. There are after parties, DJ sets, outdoor bars, food stalls, and loads of free events too.
And we'll be at the Crucible, which is an iconic, intimate venue, the home of world snooker, will be properly up close with all our diggers.
Now, Sheffield is right in the middle of the country and very easy to get to by train. So if you fancy making a whole weekend of it, you can. And the Peak District is right on the doorstep.
Tickets are now on general sale for everyone and selling very fast. Very flattering, we're thrilled. Whether you're a Potting Shed subscriber or not, if you want in, you can grab your seat right now.
We cannot wait to meet you in the flesh. All the details are there for you at crosswires.live. We'll see you there.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, Joe, my darling.
Hi. Hello. Oh, look, we've both got Christmas jumpers on.
Gone full out. I've managed to just about squeeze into my Fairy Tale of New York jumper, but I think this is going Nelly's way. I think one too many washes, a bit tight on the armpits.
It's very funny. These are jumpers that were really cool in the 90s, and I think we've both got a couple of them because I've got one, the Je T'aime Jane as well. And I keep going to wear it because they're really cool. I keep going to put it on, and I put it on, and it's just like, it's just too tight. I can't kind of move my arms anymore. Maybe the jumper's shrunk, or maybe I'm just... not the person I was.
I think our shape changes slightly as you get
it does.
Older. You know, it's sort of around the boobage area, around your shoulders. It's
and the arms.
Like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, and your arms.
Yeah.
Because you sort of think, oh, have I really filled out? But anyway, the good thing is we have our girls and they are always happy to receive our offcuts.
Yes, they are.
Who have you got on yours? Because my eyesight's really bad.
Okay, I've got Flea Bar Humbug.
Yes.
So I've got Phoebe.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
I saw her in the street with her fabulous partner, Martin McDonagh, who's the director. What a power couple they are. Because he directed 3 Billboards and In Bruges. And of course, the Banshees of Inisherin. They are sort of power. Anyway, I was like, saying hello to them in the street. Something about amazing power couples.
Another really cool power couple is Marcus Mumford and Carey Mulligan.
Oh, my Lord.
They are like the chicest,
incredible.
Coolest couple, yeah, and kindest. They are so good. Such good people.
A power couple, not massively unlike yourself and Disco Steve, who came out for the Dig It Christmas lunch the other day. We had a lovely time with the whole team. Yeah. And we ended up outside a pub. You had to go and do your show. And we ended up outside a pub. And can I just say, I might have to pull you up, Joe Wiley, because you have wanged on about how Steve, you know, he needs to up his fashion game. Well, I stood with Disco Steve and some of our fantastic young gang who work on Dig It. And Ollie, very cool.
Very cool.
Ellie and the gang, they were looking at Steve's outfit and were talking about his fantastic Red Wing shoes he had on, his very cool jeans, which are not 501s. And his Goldwyn jacket, which is amazing. I've learned all about Goldwyn and how I now need to buy some Goldwyn for the lodger. And he had some occasional green on. In fact, Merrill, who looks after me, thinks he needs to start a clothing brand called Occasional Green. And the team, who are young and are down with the kids, were giving him a lot of props. So I think you might need to take that back.
All right. I'll take it back. No, it's good, but it has, because I wanged on about it on the pod, he's now gone back into his wardrobe and he's discovered like his Red Wing shoes, because he used to wear those in the 90s. And
great.
He's told me how much value for money they are throughout the entire weekend and how great they are. He's been much more adventurous since I pointed out a couple of things this year. And he does look cool. He has got good style, I admit. Oh, hands up.
Brilliant.
Hands up. Yes.
Is he going to be getting a pink Damon Albarn beanie hat under the Christmas tree?
I've still got a little bit of Christmas shopping to do, and that is top of the list. So I do. Just as a joke, I've got to get that.
Oh, brilliant.
Big question on everyone's lips. Did you get into the party? Because I did see, I was following your family correspondence on Instagram with Norman posting, going, it's my house, I'll let you in, I'll get you in somehow. And then Nell going, no, Dad, she's not coming, which was very, very funny.
Do you know what? It has been such a hilarious conversation. We've had so many comments on the Instagram feed of this with people on both sides here. But yes, Nell, sort of having seen the comments from everybody else, deemed me important enough to go to the pre-drinks. So I was allowed to pop in.
Prinks.
My friend, but yeah, is that what it is? Prinks.
Prinks,
and,
yeah.
And my friend Beth had done all the decoration. Nikki had provided the balloons. Thank you, Nikki, at Balloon Wise. And my mates Kirsty and Ben were there and they were setting it all up. And Nell was really nervous. It is really nerve-wracking, isn't it, before a party?
Oh, God, yeah, terrifying.
But she looked drop-dead gorgeous and all of us were in awe of the girls and their incredible legs and tiny skirts that they wear, those tiny little skirts.
And midriffs to die for.
They look so good. And I was quite glad to leave because I could feel Nell's nerves. And I thought, right, everything's in place. Yeah. And everyone was ribbing her. It's like, don't rib her. She's nervous. But I was getting updates. I was sent updates because my friends were all hiding upstairs. And then Woody arrived and he had to hide upstairs. So they were only allowed to come down when he was on, when he was DJing. But it kicked right off. It looked amazing. And Norm DJed. Her boyfriend, Jacoby, who is an absolute dude, he has the loveliest family, he DJed. And Nell even played some tunes as well.
Aww.
And her dad. So, and it all wrapped up at 11:30 and no one threw up. Hurrah.
Oh, amazing. So, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. And then Wu came and stayed at mine. He ended up going clubbing. He called in going, Mum, we're going to go clubbing. I'll see you later.
The energy of that boy.
That boy. And he came in about 4:30 looking for antihistamines.
Oh God.
4:30 in the morning. Bless him. But it was his birthday this week as well. So Nell had her pre-birthday. Oh, this is, you can see here, this is my friend Beth set it all up.
Oh.
I love that sign. Holy shit, you're 16. And Norm Scher, isn't that amazing? Oh, Norm Scher.
Lovely.
Everyone thought it was hilarious because a picture of Woody with our friend Betty, but she is not his girlfriend. So they've known each other since they were tiny, but they both wanted to point out that they have other partners. So because everyone's like, oh. And then I think a few people thought Betty was Nelly. So it's been very successful. And I got to see Woody before he headed back to Bristol.
Lovely.
Where he's having a party where they're all wearing suits and they're going old school. And I was invited, but I was like, no, son, you go and enjoy yourself. He's 25, my baby.
Jude's got a birthday this week and he's going to be 27, which is mind-blowing.
How has this happened?
Yeah, but Christmas birthdays are so challenging. They're so tricky, aren't they? My head's is just spinning. He's like, how do I make this day really, really special for him? It's just a week before Christmas. But Christmas is everywhere and it just takes over and it's really hard to know what to do. So yeah, that's the challenge. Just try and make him have a really great birthday. God knows what we're going to do.
Jude and Woody are very similar. I think.
And Greg James has got the same birthday as Jude and they're very similar.
Oh, wow. And they're very similar. All these great Sagittarians everywhere.
Yeah, really outgoing, lively, restless souls.
You did do something quite festive this weekend, though. Where did you all go as a family?
Oh, we went to our favourite Christmas tree place, which is called Thriftwood. And when we got there, we had the last two trees at the place that sold out completely. This is a week before Christmas. But we've been there since Coco was about 4 years old. And we went and we sat in the sleigh. We've got photographs of the family sitting in the sleigh,
over the
years.
Who's dressed as the tree?
And it's me. I'm the tree.
That's brilliant.
I bought loads of different festive hats this year because everything had got really tatty last year. And I was like, fresh start. And then I saw this fancy dress outfit, which is a Christmas tree that you can wear. And it's tinsel and it sparkles and your face just pokes out of it. So I wore that. I was the Christmas tree, which meant that I had to then go through the netting machine. You know how when you buy a tree, you always look at it and you're like, oh, I wonder what it feels like to go through the netting.
To go through
tree,
it.
The netting
you
thing.
You did it.
I did, yes.
How did it feel?
Well, I got a bit stuck, I'll be honest with you. They were going, Mum, go rigid. You've got to make yourself more rigid. So I was there like kind of tensing every muscle in my body. And then they pulled me through and I was like, don't drop me.
Hot off the press, just sent in from a great supporter of Dig It, Disco Steve, I believe his name is, actually sent us a video of Joe going through the Christmas tree netter. I can't wait for this.
You want that tree?
Get that tree.
Oh, look at the hats.
I'll get that tree.
Oh my God, this is too brilliant. You're very rigid, Joe. You are brilliantly rigid. Go on, Jude. Jude is currently dressed as a turkey, is passing his mum, who is dressed as a Christmas tree, through the Christmas tree netter to India in a Christmas tree hat the other end.
I did get stuck at this point.
And Cass is wearing a reindeer hat, I believe.
Joe is God, we laughed so much.
Mum, can you shuffle?
Can you shuffle, please, Mum?
I love this.
They are dragging her out. Don't drop her. She's fragile goods. Joe now lying on the ground, completely netted. Honestly, it's like Christmas with the Cranks. You guys are so much fun.
I love that film.
Look at that. I feel like I've died, absolutely.
It's slightly like awake.
Oh, what a lovely tree.
Beautiful tree.
Oh, God, we laughed so much. My gorgeous kids, my gorgeous family and Steve.
Oh, I know. Oh. They are so brilliant, your kids. You are, do you know what? I know you've had a real tough year of it this year, Joe, but you are, look at you all, you're still laughing. You're still finding the joyous moments.
We laugh through it because that's all you can do.
You laugh through it, exactly.
That's what you've got to do.
And how was the decorating of the tree together? Because I know that's a real moment for you guys.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a really good time, thank you.
Christmas has officially begun.
The major thing was the cats, because we've got Nemo, who's just incredibly mischievous. And there were box wars going on between Kiki and Nemo, because they're now, she's tolerating him. But everywhere that she went, he wanted to go. So we've got all the boxes laid out on the table, and he just wanted to be as close to her as possible. So she'd go in one box, and then he'd go in a box really close to her.
Best friend.
And they're so cute together. I mean, yeah, there's still quite a bit of hissing, but we're getting there. It's taken 6 weeks. To anybody else who's got a new kitten and you're stressing about how they're not being friendly, I really thought they weren't ever going to be in the same room, but at the moment it's going okay. But it's taken a good 6 weeks for her to stop chasing him around the house, and we're getting there now.
Glad to see there is progress in the household. Also, I've seen a lot of people putting up videos of kittens climbing and destroying Christmas trees. How is Nemo with yours so far?
So far, so good. I'll be honest with you. We've got two trees. One is in the kitchen, which is medium size, and then there's one in the hallway, which is massive. Hasn't got anything on it yet. That's my job after today.
Okay.
Everyone just leaves it up to me, so I'll be decorating that tree later on.
Yes.
So, and that's the one that he'll scale. That's the one that he's going to look at and go, whoa, this is going to be so much fun.
God, yeah, you'll find him right at the top.
Further installment with the snowman that had been eaten by all the mice. So the mice not only destroyed the snowman and ate half his body, also all the stockings, Christmas stockings.
Oh, no.
We've had the same stockings year after year after year. Literally, Steve's stocking. We've had it for maybe 25 years. The mice have it now. They've literally eaten the foot off the stocking. So Steve's is the worst. India's was escaped and that's all right. But all the other stockings have just got massive holes in them. So my lesson is always seal your box when you put away your Christmas decorations, because otherwise the mice will go in there and they will just eat the darn lot. There's very little left in there. So that's my Christmas disaster.
Oh, bless you. But there's some very happy mice somewhere.
Yeah, very fat mice have slept very well.
You know, if this was a Disney film, they'd have made mini stockings out of the big stockings.
Yeah, and, with their names on.
With their names on. Yeah. Beautiful.
If you've just found Diggits, then welcome. We have two brand new episodes for you every single week. The fun never stops. Hit follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. I also watched a few films. Have you seen, I presume you have, you've seen loads, Begonia. I watched that on Saturday night.
No, I've not watched it yet. And I love hell, it's Emma Stone amazing. And Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
Is it bonkers?
Absolutely. But beautifully shot. Oh my God, it looks incredible. And their performances, Jesse Plemons and Emma Stone, both of them are, off the scale. Like you will love it. You will love it.
Excellent.
I'm not going to say anything else. And then we watched Knives Out last night. Have you seen that?
Oh, isn't it good?
It's so good.
I thought it was the best. I thought it was the best of the three of them.
It's such a good whodunit. It's such a good whodunit.
Yeah. And there's some real jump scares in it as well.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent.
Yeah.
I watched I Swear last night, which I've not seen. Do you remember the documentary John's Not Mad about this fabulous character, John, who lived with Tourette's? You might remember the documentary from quite a while ago. Well, they made a film of the story of his life, and it is, so many people have told me it was really moving and funny, and it's beautifully done.
My sister's developed some Tourette's over the past decade or so, because she's got learning disabilities. She's there are so many things going on with her, like she's got lots of things happening, and then she started snorting, and when it first happens you're just like, Francis, why are you doing that? Initially, we were saying, stop doing it, because we didn't understand. She'd never displayed anything like that before. And then it's only as there's been growing awareness of Tourette's that we've gone, oh, it's that. It's an element of Tourette's. And she also wants to spit. And she has gone through phase when she gets very agitated and she's anxious or angry, then she will do that. But I mean, she hasn't done for a very long time, but she will. Because like Christmas is coming, and when we were putting up a Christmas tree at Mum and Dad's the other day, loads of times she kept going to spit, and then she'd go, no, no. And so she'd calm herself down.
She's just so full of
admiration for her that she was able, she knew that she was able to control herself to try and stop herself from doing it. It's been really interesting, really, really interesting. And you just, in the end, you just zone out and you tune out she does what she needs to do. And that's absolutely fine. And you don't even notice it in the end. But it's in public places you do. It's quite a thing. I just want to say thank you to all the people who've commented about having older parents and having to care for parents and other people who are siblings like me who are looking after aging parents and also a sibling who's got learning disabilities and all the complexities of what goes on and how Christmas makes everything more heightened and more difficult. And Diggit have had so many lovely comments from people who are looking after parents, who have lost parents and just struggling their way through Christmas. So we just acknowledge that and we send everybody love and we're all in this together and we'll get through it.
I think that's something that I've really found on Diggit, actually, some of the conversations we have. The amount of people who also want to share about their experience. And I think it's wonderful. You talking about Francis and you've been talking about your mum and dad and how Christmas, is quite tricky this year and all those complicated situations. So many people are like, oh my goodness me, thank you for talking about this because that is our experience and that's what we're going through at the moment. And well done, Joe, for talking about that because I think it is the situation for so many people.
I think it's the sandwich generation. That's where we are now.
Yes.
We're kind of looking after the kids.
Caring for parents and kids.
Yeah.
I wasn't really aware of that term until recently.
Me neither. either.
Yeah, no. Sandwich generation.
I guess it's only when you're in it that you suddenly find your label and you're like, oh, this is what it's called then.
It's interesting because there's this whole subject about the sort of, as you get older, do you become a bit more, fuck it, you know, do you stop worrying about things? And there's been quite a few articles about this. Yeah, you give less fucks as you get older. And I've been thinking about this weekend, thinking, actually, I don't know if that's true, because you might care less about some of the daft stuff that you used to worry about. But actually, there's loads of other stuff to worry about, you know, and whether it's our parents, or you never stop worrying about your kids. I know lots of my friends have had really tough year this year. Lots of people worrying about money, people worrying about jobs. So there's, you know, I guess I sort of, as you come through menopause, I'm hoping there's this bit the other side where you're like, ah, fuck it, I don't care how I look. Ah, fuck it, this is how life is in this way. But there is always still so much to worry about.
I don't think there is. I think it just gets harder. Honestly, yeah. I think it just gets harder because you are, you know, you then have your children who have so many issues that you're trying to help them with as well and deal with. And then you have your parents. I can't see an end to it, to be honest with you. I can only see a time when you're supporting everybody around you always, because that's life. Life is freaking hard and painful and has lots and lots of issues, and you just have to deal with it, and you have to help people to deal with it and get through things. So I can't see when there's this magical rainbow moment when you're just going, oh, this is glorious, this is wonderful. I think that's maybe when you're in your 20s, when you think that life is hard, but actually it's kind of a different hard. It's not as hard as it's going to get.
Yeah,
that's grim, isn't it? Sorry.
Well, it is difficult though. But I know sort of amongst my mates that, you know, people have really struggled with so many different things this year, and I'm so grateful that we're all there for each other. Mm. I'm looking forward to that. Fuck it. Era.
Me too. Maybe it will come, and I can't wait. Yeah.
Will it come in my 80s?
I feel a bit like, fuck it, bring it on. What else next? What next?
Yeah,
what next?
What
go
next?
On, throw it at me. I'm going to bat it off.
It's like Indiana Jones sometimes, isn't it? Like when the massive ball is running down the hill, you're like, for fuck's sake,
the
just
boulder.
Trying to deal with this. Damn.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago, yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
We've had a voice note from Florence, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Zoe. Firstly, thank you so much for the podcast. I love it. The two of you together with Lauren Laverne have always been such female icons for me growing up. I'm currently in my mid-30s and I have a beautiful daughter, Sienna, who just turned 4 this week and who I solo parent currently. I work full-time, I manage the Hush Puppies brand, so here to help you with your search for loafers, ladies. And funny enough, we work really closely with the Art House charity, so I was so pleased to hear you give the fabulous artists a shout-out last week. I know them well and love them all, they're fabulous. Brilliant. This summer I also bought a house with a really mature but really needy garden, so I totally relate to all of your chat and the other listeners when it comes to work-life balance, mum guilt, juggling all those different hats in life. Inspired by a big girl steel pants, I spotted a sparkly positive pants badge in the shops the other day, which was made by Claire Makes, so shout out to her. But I wear that now with pride and think of you girls. Now, my question was, as my daughter was born in December and combined with the fact that my repertoire of lullabies is pretty small, I ended up singing Sienna Christmas carols on repeat when she was first born.
Oh.
Unsurprisingly, it's now stuck, and 4 years later, we still sing Christmas carols all 12 months of the year at bedtime. My question for you would be, which songs did you sing to your children when they were little? Have you still got any household favourites that everyone can recite now? And of course, now we're approaching Christmas. What are your go-to carols?
Oh.
I'm wishing you both a very happy end to the year and Merry Christmas to all the other fellow listeners too. Thank you. Bye.
Florence, that's actually made me really watery-eyed listening to that. I think it's the air conditioning in here or something like that. I don't know. Just so many things in that message, Florence. You gorgeous girl and you're solo parenting. And we can see a picture now. If you can watch your podcast, there's the most amazing picture of little Sienna. She is completely adorable, standing by a fabulous big Christmas tree. My mum used to sing us the Sky Boat song. Taking the boat to sky. I shouldn't sing because I'm awful at singing. So she sang that to us, and then so I would sing that to the kids, the Sky Boat song, and we actually had it at Mum's funeral. We had this really rousing Scottish bagpipe version that was amazing.
Wow.
I think it was actually from Outlander, the TV show, but it was really moving as she was carried in, bless her. That was always a favourite. What do you sing to your kids?
Oh God, the only song that comes into my mind is when, I think I might have talked about this before, is whenever I used to wash their hair and I would always tell them to look up. And so I'd sing Coldplay, Look at the Stars. So I'd be like, look at the stars. Yeah, I can't sing. See how they shine for you. And so I'd make them look up and they'd have their heads back. And so that was always our bath time song for all of
them.
I mean, for India, but for Jude, Cass and for Coco. So whenever they hear that song, they're like, oh, it's the washing hair in the bath.
It's the hair wash song.
Yeah.
We also used to sing the song from The Jerk that he sings. I think it's actually an old song, but in the jerk, Steve Martin sings, I know. Oh, no, is it maybe Bernadette Peters? I know you belong to somebody new, but tonight you belong to me, nobody but me. We sing that quite a bit. I'm really sorry about that performance.
It's really actually very lovely. I've just remembered now that the key has unlocked the treasure trove, which is the world of Danny Kaye, in which we lived and still live to this day. So Thumbelina, I used to sing that to the kids.
Thumbelina,
Thumbelina, tiny little thing. Thumbelina dance, Thumbelina sing. I could go on. An inchworm,
really,
which makes me cry.
Inchworm. Oh, why does inchworm make us cry?
Marigolds. Seems to me, stop and see how beautiful you are. Yeah.
You can sing really high.
I can't sing really well. I've got my grandma's voice. I can't believe I've just sung. That was really bad.
What
I should,
are we
please,
doing?
Please.
The kids will be mortified. All our kids.
No.
Now, if you're looking for something properly festive to watch on Christmas Eve, this year's Together at Christmas Carol Service at Westminster Abbey is very much one to put in the diary.
Early this month, plantsman and gardener Jamie Butterworth was invited to create a natural Christmas installation for Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales. And Jamie joins us on the phone right now.
Hello, Jamie.
Hey, how are you?
We're good. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks.
We're going to talk about your amazing installation, if that's okay. Tell us more about this.
Do you know what? We've had a year of the most incredible installations and events and shows. The whole year has been a bit bizarre. And then in September, we were approached by the Royal Foundation to do an installation at Westminster Abbey for the Princess of Wales's Christmas Carol Service. And I love Christmas. I love anything to do with this time of year, and the opportunity to dress and create an installation at one of the world's most iconic buildings was a privilege. And we wanted to try and create something that really felt in line with the princess's love for nature, our love for nature, and fusing together sort of and celebrating what gardens and British woodlands and just all in all, the very best of winter fused with that joy of Christmas time, and the whole theme for the carol service was love. So we created a, albeit very temporary, of course, because it's on the steps of Westminster Abbey, a quintessentially British English woodland. And to paint a picture for you, it was laden with birches and crab apples and rose hips and hazels and all these sort of trees that we celebrate throughout the rest of the year, normally when they've got their leaves on them or their blossom. But actually, I think there's something so beautiful about these trees in their naked, natural form, the white bark of the birch, the glistening red crab apples, the berries of the crab apples, the bright red of the rose hips. We want to try and keep it as natural as possible.
And how wonderful that the palace wanted to do this, that they wanted to bring trees and foliage and have some kind of nature involved in the carol service. It's quite extraordinary, I think.
It was, I think, brilliant on their part to have the foresight and the direction to do this. And the princess really does genuinely lead on all of this. Obviously, she's got the most incredible team around her, but I think this is one of her favourite events, favourite days of the whole year. And obviously, she brings the whole family along. Obviously, the princess is well known for her love of nature. So it felt really right to try and bring a slice of nature and this most wonderful time of year to her carol service. Also, those 1,600 people were invited on the merit of what they'd done for their local community or something incredible. These were the most incredible people from across the nation. So to create this walkthrough for them, so they felt immersed in sort of this woodland as they then entered into the abbey. And the abbey, my goodness, was dressed so beautifully as well.
It's wonderful, isn't it, to celebrate those people who really make a difference to so many people's lives. And, you know, it's so wonderful when we're surrounded by a year of terrible news around the world and here in the UK. And you've got to remember that all the while there are good people doing incredible things for very little recognition, but they're just looking after people. And how lovely to have a moment to celebrate them as well at such a beautiful event. And Jamie, what an incredible year you have had. Doing the dog garden with Monty and Joe and Radio 2, it has been fabulous. Your nursery is stunning. I got to visit this year. I know Joe got to visit. It's been quite incredible for you this year. You must be exhausted.
And you got married, Jamie. You got married as well. We should throw that in. You've had all the highs and the lows.
It feels like the longest year I've ever had, but in the most brilliantly magical way. I feel so lucky. I'm a gardener. I love plants. I love people. And this year has been incredible in the opportunities that I've had to fuse something that I love and feel so passionate about, but working on some of the most incredible. The dog garden feels like years ago now.
Yeah, doesn't it? But very special, so special.
Do you know what? I feel I've got a meeting this afternoon with the RHS about next year. They're coming to Francis Tophill, who's doing the RHS garden next year. He's coming to look at some plants this afternoon for her garden next year.
Oh my gosh.
And I almost feel like I'm really excited because you're looking ahead to next year, but I feel like I'm cheating on you and Monty. Because it was all of us having those conversations.
I knew when it was happening that it was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience and I would never have it again. And so I made sure that I cherished every single second. So every meeting we had, the time that we came to the nursery, the time spent with Monty, I knew that I had to savour it. And it will remain one of the greatest things that I've ever been involved with. It was just so lovely. And we had Brodie and Hector there, which was fantastic. Like, you know, the timing could not have been better, really, could it?
It was so, I don't think lucky, but so joyous to have both Brodie and Hector there on the dog garden. And also, yes, it was a dog garden. Yes, it was Monty. But I think the bit that resonated the most with people and the one thing that Monty said from the very beginning is it was a garden that was designed to bring joy to people. And just as the Westminster Abbey installation did or the garden at Chelsea, actually, It resonated and cut through more than just being a garden. I think that's why I remember it so fondly, because it was joyous and it was fun and it made people smile. And yeah, it was a privilege to be involved in something as special as that. But also, like you say, to have Brodie and Hector there and those memories makes it even more special.
It does. And also, you brought a book out. I've just remembered. And all of that. And you had a book out.
I know, it's been ridiculous, hasn't it? I know. I I'm very much looking forward to having a few weeks off over Christmas to look back and remember everything that's happened this year. I've gone, well, that's going to take some beating, and then the book comes out, or like I got married, and everything has been like, well, what's next? That I don't think that will ever be beaten, and then something comes along, and like, oh my goodness, and it was. I remember after the book came out, I thought, okay, that is me done for this year. I'm just going to go back to normal stuff. And then we took over a second nursery, and then the Princess of Wales team got in touch. And it's just been one thing after another, but in the most joyous, wonderful, magical way.
You're young. You've got to cherish all those moments, Jamie. Yeah. And they're going to keep coming. They really are. I was quite excited talking about you, watching you on Gardener's World the other night. And the lodger was saying, he's rather fabulous. The lodger is new to Gardener's World, and it's been a bit of an epiphany. And he's doing up he's got a little yard in his house. And I showed him your book the other day because I went, what you need, because he's starting to do the planting plan. And he's only got a little space. I was like, you need Jamie's book, because the book is so brilliant, where you've done a great thing of putting plants that go together that you can have in a small space, or you can repeat. And it's really, really clever. So, yeah, he's definitely getting your book for Christmas.
Thank you. That's really kind. I just want as many people to garden as possible, and try to get rid of as many barriers as possible to people.
Remind us of what it's called, Jamie, the book?
It's called What Grows Together.
Amazing stocking filler.
Well, hopefully.
I think so, genuinely.
And the other nice thing that you can do when you buy the book is if you're buying it for someone, you could buy three of the plants that, you know, go together as a little thing. That's actually something that I'm getting for someone. So you get a little three of the plants.
Good
so
idea.
There's a little start to that process.
That would be a lovely Christmas gift. And I'm now going to go and tell my marketing team that, because they haven't thought of that.
Just to let people know that the carol service that we've just been talking about, the Christmas carol service at Westminster Abbey, we can all enjoy it. We can see Jamie and his amazing team's work. It's going to be broadcast on ITV 7:25 on Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas to you and Devon and Ollie as well. Jamie, thanks for inspiring us all. You're an absolute magic man.
Mwah. Merry Christmas, Zoe and Joan.
That's all we have time for today. Remember, if you want all our reviews and recommendations for free and all in one place, sign up to our free Substack newsletter. We'll send you a weekly email with everything from the show every Friday. And the link to sign up is in the show notes.
We're back again on Monday for a Dig In Food special with our wonderful guest, Martha Collison.
Contact us. Our WhatsApp and our email addresses are in the show notes.
And if you're loving the podcast, please leave us 5 stars on Apple or Spotify with a little review. It really helps other people to find the show. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care, darling. Dig It is a Persephonica production.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.